What is going on, Try Hard Podcast listeners? We are back. Excuse me, it's not a good way to start off. Listen, we are back for another episode. What is going on, everybody? I hope you guys are having a beautiful night. It is 8:30 p.m. right now where I live, all right? My kids and wife are sleeping, so I hope you don't mind if I'm not that animated, all right? I'm not trying to get bitched at. Okay, I'm not trying to keep everybody awake. So my office area where I have all my setup and stuff is directly across the hall from my room with my wife and my kids, right? So my kids, listen, I'm not going to get into that. Just know I'm not going to be yelling. I'm going to be chill. Listen, a lot of crazy things have been happening today with RosterMania, a couple other things within the Call of Duty community. The female Call of Duty scene, shit's crazy. We're going to get into it right now. But most important part of the show is starting it with good vibes. And we're starting it just like how I like to, all right? With a nice little song. We're in it, bitch. One, two, three. Oh, yeah, that's right. We can't forget about. Let's go. Drop that shit.
First person shooter mode, we turning your song to a funeral. Tell them niggas to say they want office, you better be talking about working in cubicles. Yeah, them boys had it locked, but I knew the code. Lot of niggas debating my numero. Not the three, not the two, I'm at UNO. Yeah. Numero UNO, me and Drizzy, this shit like the Super Bowl. Man, this shit done it big as the... Super Bowl, but the difference is just two guys playing shit that they did in the studio. Niggas usually send they verses back to me and they be terrible just like a 2-year-old. I love a dinner with some fine women when they start debating about who the GOAT. I'm like, go ahead, say it then. Who the GOAT? Who the GOAT? Who the GOAT? Who the GOAT? Who you bitches really?
Who the GOAT? I don't know who the GOAT is. Obviously, he's the GOAT.
November, nigga, it's just you and Cole. Biggest what? Super Bowl. Niggas so thirsty to put me in beef. Dissecting my words and start looking too deep. I look at the tweets and start sucking my teeth. I'm letting it rock cause I love the mystique. I still wanna give me a song where I be. Can't trust everything that you saw on IG. Just know if I diss you, I make sure you know that I hit you like I'm on your call ID. I'm naming the album The Fall Off. It's pretty ironic cause it ain't no fall off for me. Still in this bitch getting bigger. They waiting on the kid to come drop like a father to be. Love when they
argue. Best part of the song right here. Best part of the song. Let's go.
That is it, Aubrey or me. We the big three like we started a league. But right now, I feel like Muhammad Ali. Yeah, Muhammad Ali, the one that they call when they shit ain't connected no more. Feel like I got a job.
That's how I like to start a fucking podcast, baby. Let's go. Gunshots in the air for all the fallen ones. Listen, I don't know why I said that. Welcome to another episode of the Try Hard Podcast. We are back. We got a lot of fun shit to get into. Actually, I'm not going to lie. Not too much fun shit to get into, but we got a couple things we got to talk about, all right? Number one, CDL RosterMania. Motherfuckers lost their jobs. People got jobs. It's a good day. Shout out to all. Listen, RIP to all those who lost their job today. That sucks. But big shout out to the people who got jobs today. All the new pros, all the ex-pros who are back in the league. Motherfuckers are in the league who should have been in the league. But we have other shit to talk about too, all right? We got the female Call of Duty scene, all right? The female Call of Duty scene has been on one as of late. They've been going crazy. They've been going crazy, all right? Female Call of Duty scene is on the rise. It's going down. It's on the rise. They're on a roller coaster ride. They're trying to destroy each other. They're trying to fight each other. This league is better. That league is better. This league is sexist. That league is transphobic. This league owes money. This league is bullshit. Where'd that money go? We're going to get into a little bit of it all. We're going to give solutions. All right? First off, I hope you guys are having a beautiful weekend. It's Friday here right now. Hope you're enjoying yourselves. Hope you're having a good day. We're going to get into this shit, all right? Call of Duty is back. We are back in full swing. We got RosterMania. We're going to get into that. Did the teams do a good job and who they picked up? Did they do a bad job? Should they have dropped that person? Should they have cut that person? A little bit of everything, all right? So let's get into that shit right now, all right? Listen. My bad. I got like some phlegm in my mouth. We're not going to be that long today. Pause, all right? We're not going to be that long today. I'm tired as shit right now, all right? The last 3 days, I've been going to bed. I've been going to bed around fucking like 11:30 midnight, all right? And I know for a lot of you savages, that's fine. A lot of you guys are like, well, what's wrong with that? I'm a grown-ass man, 30-plus-year-old, all right? My body can't handle that. I'm exhausted right now. But I want to drop this content for you guys. I want to drop this podcast for you guys, give you something to listen to tomorrow when you're at work or hanging out with your girl or crying about not having a girl or having a boy, whatever you're into, shooting bots while you're playing COD, whatever. I'm going to give you this content, all right? So first off, let's fucking get into this shit right now. Let's go, baby. Let's get into the shits right now. Roster Mania, all right? Roster Mania. A big day in the competitive Call of Duty scene. Hold up and get my iPad ready. A big day in the Call of Duty scene, all right? Some people lost jobs, all right? Let's be honest with ourselves. Some people lost jobs. Some people got jobs. We're going to get into that a little bit. Boston Breach and the Los Angeles Thieves have made, they were the first ones to make moves, and you got to give them credit for that, all right? They both had really bad showings at Major One, so they were kind of on the chopping block as far as, making a roster move and really trying to take the next steps to building a competitive team. Not winning teams, competitive teams, all right? We know who the bad boys and then the top teams in the league are, all right? We know that. Are Boston Breach and LA Thieves going to just come out of their ass and build a team that can compete with those guys? Probably not. But they can compete. They can put teams together that are going to be competitive, right? Right. If you're Boston Breach, right? If you're Boston Breach, you finish T12 in your own major. All right. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. Your own major and you finish T12. That's home field advantage, baby. You got to get at least a top five, at least. You finish T12. All right, it's not a good look. So obviously, you know, if you're a fan of Boston Breach and your team underperforms like that, like, and to be fair, was that team expected to do better? You really gotta dive into who they have and if it's gonna work out, all right? So Boston Breach, you know what? Oh, by the way, if you're watching on YouTube, appreciate you. Make sure you drop a sub to the channel. We finally have some graphics for the screen, so we're gonna pop that up right now. And if you're listening listening to the podcast on Spotify or Apple or wherever, go subscribe to the YouTube, all right? I appreciate it. So, first person to go during Roster Mania is the boy Capsidal, all right? Boston Breach announced that they were parting ways with Capsidal. Now, let's dive into that a little bit. What was the reason for that? Like, what happened? What happened at the Major One? Did he really play that bad? Well, let's get into it a little bit. All right. So Major One. All right. Major One, they started in losers, right? They started in losers. They played against the Seattle Surge. In Major One, Capsidal. Okay. Capsidal had a. All right. We're gonna break this down. All right. So the one series they played on LAN. The one series they played on land was against the Seattle Surge, all right? And we can all admit Seattle Surge isn't the best team, but they're not a bad team. They're a middle of the road type of team, all right? And Capsidal, unfortunately, he shit the bed that series. The only series that they had on land, he shit the bed, you know? And let's be honest, him and Snoopy shit the bed, all right? Him and Snoopy shit the bed. But unfortunately for him, if it's going to come down, we got to make a change and one person has to go, it's not going to be Snoopy. All right. Snoopy's, it's the franchise player. That's the guy you're going to build around. That's the guy that, you know, we're expecting our team to, you know, to be built around. That's our guy. That's our future. Right. Even if the CDL doesn't have much of a future for this franchise, Snoopy's the guy. So if you're thinking about making a change and the two players that shit the bed at the major, at the only LAN event we've gone to this year, the two players that shit the bed were our franchise player and the other guy, who's going to go? I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. Obviously, Snoopy's not going, so the other guy has to go, all right? Capsidal, he dropped to 0.82. I mean, he got tucked. It is what it is, right? It is what it is. In the hard point. Also, shout out to fucking Breaking Point GG for the stats. All right. In the hard point, you know, he had a 1.05, 22 kills, 21 deaths. Hill time, he had 46 in the hill, right? So it wasn't, he didn't do that bad in the hard point. And again, this is LAN. This is our first time being able to see this team play on LAN, right? So who knows what could have happened. He could have just maybe been nervous, maybe he was off. It's not like Cap never had experience on that stage. He's, you know, he's been a pro before. He, you know what I mean? He's been there before, right? With Boston. So in the S&D invasion, this is where he struggled. He went 2-9. All right. You just can't have that, brother. You just can't have that, right? 2-9 on LAN, right? In S&D. Like, it is what it is. So we're not going to go through all the stats, but he didn't have the best series there. All right. And again, Boston, you know, give them credit. Whoever's running that org, whoever the decision makers are with these rosters, it's a clear sign that hey, we want to be competitive. We don't want to just settle for whatever. We want to put the best roster possible that's going to give us the best chance to win. And at very least, if we don't win, at least be competitive, right? At least be competitive. And to be fair, the series against Seattle Surge, they lost 3-2. It wasn't like they got blown out the water, right? But there's this crop of challengers right now, and we'll get into who they picked up. This crop of challengers right now is really high. It's a good crop of challengers. So if we're a team like Boston Breach and we're struggling, why not pull the trigger? Why not pull the trigger and make a move right now before that good crop of challengers gets taken by somebody else, and then we got to go to the second tier challengers to make a move or recycle a pro, which I'm assuming most teams are trying to get away from now, right? So, you know, Cap had to go. It sucks, but he had to go. It is what it is, man. Hey, and everyone's like, well, it's just one event. That's called life. Okay, that's called life. In life, period. Forget Call of Duty. Forget esports. Forget that. In life, period. You have to perform. Okay, you have to perform. It's okay that you had a bad day. It's okay. But me as a GM, me as a coach, me as someone who's my job, you got to look at it through Boston Breach's eyes. If I'm a GM, if I'm a coach, I'm getting paid to put the best team possible out there, right? The best team possible out there. And guess what? When that team does not perform, it looks bad on the players, it looks bad on the coaches, and it looks bad on me as a GM or whoever's making the decision on this roster, right? So I'm looking out for my best interest as well. Right. And if we have the first major one is in our hometown and our first match, we get eliminated and we have two players that don't perform. Right. And you know what? In this situation, if it wasn't Snoopy, the other player, if it was Cap and another player, Cap would have had a better chance of sticking around, right? He had a better chance of sticking around. Maybe he would have chose the other player. In this situation, the two players that, you know, didn't perform well at this major were the franchise player and Cap. Cap, you got to go, right? Sucks, but you're gone. That's the way it goes, man. That's the way it goes. Pay attention, kids. All right, pay attention, because that's how life works. Even in video games, all right. Even when you're playing video games, it's the same shit. It's the same shit. All right. So, enough of that rant. Who do they pick up? Well, shout out to Boston Breach. Instead of going with another recycled pro, and pause. Technically, the person they picked up is Aseem. Right, challenger player, arguably one or two. He's top one. He's either first or second best challenger player in the scene right now. Right, technically he's been a pro before. Here's the difference between Aseem though. This is why Aseem doesn't fall under that category of recycled pro. He is in his prime right now. Okay, right now he is in his prime. All right, so you're going to get the best Aseem in the next two years right now. This is what you're getting. You know what you're getting? A player that is currently in his prime of his Call of Duty career. All right? So he might have an extra shift that you might get out of him, an extra gear that you might get out of him. Okay? And he's either the best challenger player or the second best challenger player. So when you're talking about options and you're dipping into the challenger pool, that's what it is. He's there. So why not pick him up? Why not pick him up? And we all know, all right? Aseem's one of those players. When he's on, he is on, okay? When he is on, and we've seen it in the Pro League, so there's 100% proof that he can do it. When he is on, he can keep up with the best subs in the game, the best players in the game when he's on. Okay? So, obviously, Boston Breach looked at that, seen that possibility. He's one or two best options in the challenger scene. We don't want to have another recycled pro who's at the end of his career. We got a pro who's got the experience. And he's in his peak right now. And he might have a gear we haven't seen yet. It's a no-brainer. Pick him up. Easy. Now, so congrats to Aseem for getting picked up. There's also a rumor right now. There's a rumor right now that the Boston Breach is looking to possibly make another change within the team. Okay? Another change within the team. Now, that makes you think. Who would they pick to move? All right, who would they pick to move? Priesta, Slasher, or Snoopy? That's tough. All right, because if we're strictly going off of the Major One performance, the two worst players on that Major One performance were Snoopy and Cap. Cap is gone. I'm not sure how you can justify getting rid of either Slasher or Priesta when Snoopy had the worst event. You're getting into tricky waters there. Especially if Snoopy is your quote-unquote franchise player, right? That's the guy that you're kind of looking to build your team around, right? Does that mean that maybe... Now, I'm talking as if, like, what if they're good with Slasher? Slasher's your old vet. Right, keeping the team together, kind of keeping everybody, keeping the game plan going. Kind of, he's the quarterback, right? So are you talking about maybe getting rid of Slasher or Priesta? That's tough to justify, right? Maybe getting rid of Slasher or Priesta because you want a faster AR or a faster flex, or you know what I mean? Like, maybe. Or is Snoopy on the chopping block? I've heard a couple of names that have been thrown around. Heard a couple of names that have been thrown around. I think one or two players scrim with them tonight. It's interesting. Hey, it could get very, very interesting. As a matter of fact, hold on a minute. We're gonna go check something out real quick on Twitter. It could get very, very interesting if Snoopy's on the chopping block. All right. If Snoopy's on the chopping block, that's crazy. All right. Okay. No intel on that. But it's very interesting. So obviously they picked up a seam, right? They drop cap, picked up a seam, and the rumor is that they're trying out and possibly thinking about making another change. That means either Slasher, Priesta, or Snoopy. All right. Now, just off of the process of elimination, who had the worst event in Major 1 out of those three? Snoopy. Are you giving up on your franchise player and deciding to go to a different direction? Who knows? Stay tuned. Obviously, if I get some information, I'll let you guys know in the podcast sometime, but it's interesting. But either way, shout out to Cap. I'm sure Cap will jump on one of the top challenger teams. Shout out to Asim. It's been a cool last 2 weeks for Asim. You know, he was on that FaZe Black challenger team that won the FaZe, or that won the Boston Major 1 Open challenger bracket. So he won that, got some bread in his pocket, and right after he got signed to the Boston Breach. So congrats to him. Things are looking good for Asim. So shout out to him. All right, guys. That's Boston Breach. All right. Next up, we got good old LA Thieves. All right. Now, let's break down this LA Thieves team. Okay. Again, another team who's not waiting. They're not waiting. And again, if you're a bottom team, okay, after Major 1, if your team did not perform the way you wanted them to, it's the best time to make a move. Reason 4 is that's when you get to see who's who in the challenger scene. That's the whole point of the challenger scene. That's literally the fucking point of the challenger team. All right. The point of the challenger team, or the challenger system, is these are the next guys up, right? For whatever reason, these guys aren't on a team. Maybe they're younger players, or, you know, whatever, for whatever reason. That's the pool of players you should be going for when trying to make roster changes, all right? Okay? I get that. Sorry, I thought I heard something. I get that people want to try to make this into like the NFL or NBA, where why don't you trade players? That's not how it works, all right? That's not how it works. And in fact, in esports, I think that's something you should try to stay away from, okay? Especially in Call of Duty esports, all right? Call of Duty is a different esport from all the rest of them, because we play a new game every year, right? It's a blessing and a curse. Actually, it's a curse in my opinion. But when it's a new game every year, some players are really good at this game. The next year, they don't like that game and they're not good at it. Right? The year after that, they might be good at that game. So when you're building these rosters, you're having to keep that in mind. Right? Now, when you drop a player, you're pretty much telling them, and they know, they know I'm not good at this game, right? I'm still one of the best players in the world at this game that I don't like or that I'm not good at, but I'm still one of the best players, right? But unfortunately for me, there might be better players above me that maybe are younger, higher potential. So they get a shot, right? Now, LA Thieves, they're in that exact same predicament as Boston was, right? You're one of the bottom teams. You did not perform well at all at the major one, okay? At all. But now, this is the difference between the LA Thieves and the Boston Breach, right? LA Thieves, 100 Thieves, Nade Shot, this is a brand. This is a big brand in esports, okay? A big brand in esports, all right? World champs 2 years ago, two, 3 years ago, something like that. World champs of the Call of Duty League. Was it the inaugural? Was it the first year or the second year? I think second year. Yeah, Dallas Empire were first year champs. Second year was LA Thieves. All right. So you're the former world champs of the Call of Duty League. LA Thieves, 100 Thieves, same shit. All right. Your owner is Nade Shot, one of the GOATs of Call of Duty. Okay. The brand is one of the biggest brands in esports, period. Okay. Now, there's no secret, and Nate Shot has said this plenty of times in different podcasts or streams or whatever. We said, you know, hey, wasted a shitload of money with this Call of Duty League. All right. Now, typically, when somebody who's in charge like that has little comments like that, that pretty much means that, like, yo, We're about to chill with overspending, right? We're not going to overspend no more on this shit, right? And I've heard reports, and I've heard, you know, people who are involved in the situation that, you know, they're gonna come back on their salaries this year, 2024 Call of Duty season, right? So they're going a different route. We're going to try to build a roster without overspending. Okay. We're not Optic. We're not those teams that are just going to try to buy the best team possible. We're going to try to, and I'm talking as if I was LA Thieves. We're going to do our homework. We're going to evaluate players. We're going to see who wants to play with who, right? We're going to watch our video. We're going to watch our VODs. We're going to see what the best combination of players that we can put together without overspending. Because let's be honest with ourselves. The Call of Duty League, if you're a team or org in the Call of Duty League, you are wasting money. Okay? You are wasting money. All right? Now, LA Thieves, 100 Thieves, they're a different brand than all these other teams. Okay? They have different businesses, they have different companies all involved in the 100 Thieves brand. So the budget is different from everybody else. All right? It's not saying that 100 Thieves or LA Thieves don't have money like that. Don't get it twisted. There's bread there. There's money there. But it has to be spent and used in a responsible way. The days of these overpriced salaries, those are gone. Those are gone, unless you're Optic. Okay? And I've said this before. Optic's different from everybody else. Optic doesn't need to win to build their brand. They did it already. Their brand is established. Okay? Optic can finish last this entire year. They can finish T12 this entire year. They cannot make champs this entire year, and they still will make money off content, sponsorships, everything. They're good, right? LA Thieves, 100 Thieves is a org that knows that. Okay, so they're going to be very responsible with their money this year. This is why the team that they put together is what it is, all right? Now, was Ghosty, was Joe Deceives, was Cammy, was you know, were all those guys on, was Afro, were all those guys in the league minimum? League minimum is 50 grand, right? 50 grand. I doubt it, but I guarantee you they weren't getting paid. You know, now if you look at the roster, okay, you look at the roster off of potential, off of hype, maybe one player got paid double that, maybe 100 grand or less, and that would be Afro. Okay. Obviously, you know, it in my opinion, doesn't deserve that much because he hasn't performed, you know, the way I'm sure they expected. But, you know, so you have to look at that like that, right? Now let's go into this team. Let's go into their performance at Major One. Okay, Major One, LAN, first LAN event of the season. You know, your team is Ghosty, Joe Deceived, Afro, and Cammy. Okay, now break that team down. Okay, Cammy, EU player. Afro, EU player. That's the duo, right? The duo. Okay, that's the duo that you know, that's the duo that people kind of were expecting to lead the way within this team. Okay. Now, hold on a minute. Now, obviously after Major One, it didn't work out. Okay. Cammy did not play very well. All right. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Okay. This is where it gets very interesting. Now, if I'm going to make a move, I'm going to break up that duo of Afro and Cammy, right? Because clearly it's not working. Hasn't worked in the past. It's not working now. Somebody's got to go. Okay. Somebody's got to go. Afro and in their first and only series of Major One against LAG, Los Angeles Gorillas, the Battle of LA, right? The team that you want to beat, right? The team, if there's a rivalry, that's your rivalry right there. If there is one. I mean, when you're a bottom team, fuck all that rivalry shit. Just win, right? The Battle of LA. Okay. The series you want to win, you lose 3-1, right? In that series, Ghosty led the way with a 1.42, right? Joe Deceives led the way with a 1.0, okay? Now, the two players that struggled, Afro with a 0.87 and Cammy with a 0.77, all right? And again, guys, we're talking numbers, okay? That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing with that. We're just talking the KD, all right? Obviously, the KD doesn't give you an exact picture of what that player brings to the table, okay? But we break this shit down. We know Afro and Cammy, there's a duo there, right? They're familiar with each other, right? So if you're looking at, you know, team bonding and team, you know, kind of camaraderie, you know, those two players are going to be like butt buddies, right? Excuse my language. They're going to be like butt buddies, right? They're the duo, they're friends, right? Mm-hmm. Joe Deceives and Ghosty are kind of looking out, right? It's Joe Deceives and Ghosty's it's kind of up to them to kind of try to get involved with the already established duo, right? Which is a hard thing to do. Okay. Now, Ghosty, that's your, in my opinion, Ghosty's your glue. Okay. Ghosty's your glue. Got in his prime. Okay. In his prime. But we haven't seen his full potential yet. Haven't seen his full potential. He, you know, he got the nickname of the human UAV. Rightfully so. Comms are out of this world. Okay. And he can perform. Let's not forget what he did last year with Optic. Optic. Okay, Optic Texas. Yeah, they didn't win an event. But that team was shit. They were absolutely shit. And when Ghosty came in, turned their whole season around. Okay, that's that and as a player like Ghosty to come in and do that. All right? To come in and do that from challengers, right? To come in and do that. That says a lot. He came in, got picked up by the biggest team in Call of Duty esports, Optic, right? And he performed. He performed when the lights were brightest, all right? Champs, whatever, he was sick. We're not even going to bring that up. Regardless of how the season ended, he helped turn that team around. Obviously, the people from LA Thieves saw that, and that was something that they thought about when they were building this team. Okay? Joe Deceives, young player. What is he, 20, 21? Maybe younger than that, 20, 21, something like that? Young player, that's your crackhead. That's your guy that you that's like your missile. Let him go and fucking go. Just let him go. Right? But he's young. All right? That aggression and that speed, if not contained, that's all it is just aggression and speed. And in the pro scene, in the Call of Duty League, players are good enough to counter that aggression and speed. Okay? So keep that in mind when we're talking about this LA Thieves roster. All right? They go to Major 1. They don't perform well. Obviously, like I said, same thing with Boston Breach. If you're going to make a move, you got to make a move now. And like I said before, why? Why are you going to make a move now? If you're going to make a move, you have to make a move now because the best challenger players are there. Okay. And when they're gone, now if you're still dipping in the challengers, now you got to dip down to another tier. Okay. So if you're going to make a move, you got to make a move now. LA Thieves took that and they made a move. Cammy, first one to go. Boom, the duo is done. Afro, Cammy, done. Cammy gone. All right? When I seen that, I'm like, oh my God, they're going to drop Afro as well. That's what I thought. Okay? That's what I thought. Cammy gone. LA Thieves announced that they parted ways. All right? That's one. Okay? The next announcement was, they announced that they were sending Joe Deceives down to the bench and he would be their official sub. Okay. That one kind of caught me off guard. I'm not going to lie. Caught me off guard. Okay. Caught me off guard in a way. I mean, do I hate the move? I don't hate it, but I don't really like it. It's weird. It's weird. Right. Because I kind of think that he was your young gun, right? But again, I'm not a part of the team. There might be other things there that we don't see as outsiders, right? Attitude maybe, right? Maybe just not picking up the game plan, not sticking with the game plan. Maybe he's just not doing things he was supposed to do inside and outside the game. There's a lot of things there that we don't know as outsiders that we have to kind of be understanding of, right? So I'm looking at it as like, all right, well, they know something we don't know. You know, they're the ones making the moves. We kind of just have to go with it and see what happens, right? So they send Joe DeCiev down to the bench. He is their official sub. On a side note, he ended up joining FaZe Black, which was the number one challenger team, and that goes into who they picked up. All right, so they release Cammy. They send Joe DeCiev down to challengers as their sub, and they pick up Nasty, EU challenger player Nasty. Now, I'm not going to front and say that I know all about Nasty. All I know of what people said, it was crazy that he was in challengers, blah, blah, blah. I know he was on Team War. They finished like T12 at the open event, so that was kind of a surprise. Whoever's their coach is or whatever for there's some kind of EU connection within the staff at LA Thieves. So that's how kind of how it, you know, played out with that. So congrats to Nasty for getting picked up. Congrats to him. I'm not going to talk too much on him because I don't really know that much about him. All I know of what people said, but we'll see if that's a good pickup or not. Another EU player. So it is what it is. Me personally, I think there was maybe two or three other guys that I would like to see them pick up over this. But, hey, we'll see how it turns out for him. Right? So shout out to Nasty. You're hired. You have a job. You no longer are unemployed. So congrats. Now that goes into their next pickup. Their next pickup, in my opinion, the best challenger player in the game. LA Thieves announce the signing of Kremp, a.k.a. Volance. I'm going to call him Volance, all right? Whatever. Y'all call him Volance. Y'all call him Kremp. I'll call him Volance. Kremp, right? Now, my opinion, was the best challenger player in the Call of Duty scene, all right? Reason why. This is why, all right? His confidence. Okay, he's very confident, but not cocky. Confident. There's a difference. All right. Also has experience. He was in the league last year. Had a nice little stint in the league. Right? My opinion, wasn't a good situation for him, but it is what it is. We're not gonna get into that. We're talking about this now. He did what he was supposed to do in challengers. Won, right? And not only did he win, but he performed. Okay, and it's bittersweet for me because this year, that was actually one of the teams that I wanted to pick up for challengers, but whatever. Kind of happy it didn't happen because I'm not going to be burning my money in challengers, but whatever. We're not getting into that. So they pick up Kremp. Huge, huge signing for them. I think between him and Ghosty, that's my core. If him and Ghosty, that's my core. And if Nasty is as nasty, no pun intended, if Nasty is as nasty as people say, and then you have Afro, if my information's correct, you're the one getting paid the big bucks, right? Afro, you're the one getting paid the big money. This LA Thieves team has a possibility of shooting straight up in the rankings because every single one of these players, especially Afro, especially Kremp, especially Nasty, and even Ghosty at times, this is a scary, scary team. All right? This is a very scary team. The skill is there. They have all the makings to be a pressure team. Okay, I'm looking at Ghosty as that's where it's going to come down. That's where it's going to come down to Ghosty. If the human UAV becomes human UAV 2.0, LA Thieves, I mean, y'all were balling on a budget, but you guys might have accidentally made a nasty team, no pun intended. You might have made a disgusting team So I'm excited. I'm excited for this team. I'm truly excited for this team. In my opinion, between Boston and LA, who made the W moves, I'm going to go with LA Thieves. I'm excited for this team. If you're an LA Thieves fan, you should be very excited. Okay, you should be very excited. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see what this team does. I cannot wait. So, shout out to those guys. Shout out to Nasty. Shout out to Crimp. Shout out to Asim. You boys are back in the league. Do something. All right? Do something. Don't take these opportunities for granted. You were just in the pit. You were just in the pit last week. Show these motherfuckers why you belong where you're at right now. Show them why you're here. Show them why you're going to get paid to play a video game. Don't let them forget. Don't let them forget. Stay disciplined. Be a team player. Ignore the bullshit. And come on my podcast. All right? Pause. So shout out to those guys. Happy for them. It is what it is. Hopefully everything works out for them. All right? All right, guys. So that's Roster Mania. We're done with that shit. We're done with that shit. Now let's get into the drama. All right? And by drama, I mean the female competitive Call of Duty scene. Okay? And I'm not going to say it's all drama, but it's a lot of fucking drama. It's a lot of drama. Let me tell you. It is a lot of drama. Hey. These bitches are crazy. All right. I'm sorry to use that language, but when it comes to the female COD scene, them bitches are crazy. All right. But they're talented. All right. The level of the female Call of Duty scene in the last 3 to 4 years has skyrocketed. It has skyrocketed. Now, are they good enough to be in the CDL? No, not yet. Not yet. I know y'all want to, what did you just say? No, they're not. But damn, are they going to be there very, very soon. A lot sooner than I thought they were going to be. The level of skill in the female Call of Duty scene is inspiring. It's inspiring. Here's the problem we face right now. All right, let me turn my iPad off. Here's the problem we face. Okay. And I'm going to give you what I think. I'm a man, all right? I know I'm a man. I got to, you know what I mean? The Lord blessed me with a stick and two balls, right? So I know some of you might be like, you're a dude, so why are you talking about the female Call of Duty scene? Listen, I've been a part of the Call of Duty scene for some years now, okay? Got to watch it grow. Got to watch players, a lot of your favorite professional players in the league right now. Got to watch them when they were young and grow into the players that they are now, right? So I have a little bit of experience in this shit. Whether you like me or not, that's the problem with a lot of you motherfuckers. You guys don't like me for whatever reason. But that's okay. You don't need to like me. You don't need to like me. But I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you for you to like me. I'm not going to do that. If you don't like me, cool. You don't have to like me. But best believe, when you hear me talk, you're getting 100% what I believe is the truth. Okay, my opinion. I'm not changing it or fixing it for whatever thing to make someone feel better. No, we're not doing that. Okay. The problem with the female Call of Duty scene right now as we speak. The problem right now is, just like everything else in the world, everybody's different. Everybody is different. Okay. Right now within the Call of Duty scene, we have like these factions. Why am I saying we? Y'all have these factions. All right? There's two leagues right now. Which boggles my fucking mind. Why are there two leagues in the Call of Duty, in the female Call of Duty scene? The scene is still growing. Why are we oversaturating the market? You guys know what oversaturating means? Look it up if you don't. Why are we having too much? Right? Too much. Maybe one day you can have more than one league and it makes sense. But right now, where the female COD scene is right now at this present day, it's stupid. You understand me? And whatever, I get it. Oh, well, the more the merrier, whatever. It just, you know, we can, as long as everyone's involved. Yeah, I get all that. That's all kumbaya. I get all that. If we had two leagues that were supportive of each other, right? Two leagues that were in communications all the time. Hey, when's your league starting? Okay, well, we're starting this day. All right, okay, well, we'll make sure that we don't have our matches the same days as your matches so that the girls can play in both. Because you're right. The more the merrier. You're right. As long as we're not interfering with each other in making these weird moments where she plays in this league and this league, but they both have matches on the same day. Now she has to decide which league do I want to play in. Okay. Well, if I play in this league, they have this many followers or this much hype. Well, if I play in this league, they have this many followers, this much hype. Things like that are what start causing a divide. Okay. In the female Call of Duty scene, for those of you listening that maybe don't give a fuck about female COD, I do. I have a daughter. I got a daughter. Mind you, my kids will probably never play video games. That's my personal thing, right? I'll probably never let my kids play video games. But I have a daughter. If my daughter liked to play Call of Duty and she'd like to compete, I would want my daughter to have an avenue to do that, right? As Call of Duty, as the competitive Call of Duty scene became more and more relevant in esports, period, we've always had females in the scene, right? But we've never had an avenue for them to compete in. Okay? And like I said before, there's not one female in the Call of Duty scene, in the competitive Call of Duty scene, that's good enough to play in the pro scene. That's just, I'm sorry. I know you. Some of y'all might get mad about that. Whatever. There's not. There is not. Okay? So having these leagues like the FPC, the Female Pro League, and now the WXC, which is ran by Alley Cat, the caster from the Call of Duty League, right? All that's good. But when everyone's bickering and saying this league's better than that league, or now it's fucked. Now it's fucked. Again, the female COD scene is too irrelevant right now to be fighting within each other. It is what it is. On one side, FPC, you have, or now GCW, whatever. I'm going to call them FPC. FPC, okay, an established league, right, started a league when there was nothing for females, okay, along with the Female Pro League. I'm not sure which one started first, but over there, FPC has been a part of the female Call of Duty scene when there was nothing. Okay. When I got involved in the scene, I saw that. I saw the FPC. I saw the female scene rising up. Okay. Someone like me who's put my money where my mouth is within the challenger scene, amateur scene. I saw that, and that got me inspired. I got a daughter. I want to help these girls have the same opportunities that these dudes have, right? Hey, and I'm sorry to bust your bubble. I'm a conservative, all right? Sorry. I'm a conservative, okay? I believe a man should do this. I believe a female should do this. But I believe that if there's something that a female wants to do, especially in gaming, wants to do, she should have the opportunity to do that. As long as it's not interfering with someone else's situation. Okay? Competitive Call of Duty falls into that realm. All right? So this is why I'm very outspoken about the situation that I've been seeing the last couple of days, especially, right? FPC has been around, was around before there was anything. I saw it bubbling up and made me, it inspired me to get involved. Inspired me to establish my own brand within the female Call of Duty scene, Queen's Chaos. All right. I had my amateur org called Three Kings, right? A lot of your favorite pros started with my Three Kings brand when they were too young to compete in the challenger scene, okay, or the amateur scene at the time. Obviously, I want to be a part of the female scene now. I want to have an org with the female scene. I can't have Three Kings. That makes no sense. It's females. Three Kings, Kings, female, you know what I mean? So I had to come up with a new branding. That's how much I wanted to be a part of everything. Came up with Queen's Chaos. In my opinion, the best sounding name. That's just me, whatever. Personal bias, obviously. Queen's Chaos, an off branch of Three Kings Gaming. Queen's Chaos, an organization that supports the female Call of Duty scene. FPC was the reason why I got involved, because I seen what they were doing. I wanted to be a part of that. Knock on wood, I got a very good team, and we ended up winning season two. We ended up winning the FPC league championship, right? Shout out to my girl. Shout out to Milks. Shout out to Camps. Shout out to Belma. Shout out to Chloe. Shout out to She Harm. Shout out to all you girls for bringing us that championship, right? I was excited to be a part of the scene, right? And again, it's females. Females are different than dudes. Females are different than guys. Again, don't get mad at me for saying this, but females, there's a lot of emotion involved, a lot. Guys, we're morons. We don't have emotions the way females have emotions. All right? Now, I'm a part of the female scene. I'm seeing everything that's happening. I'm like, okay, the scene's going up. All of a sudden, this new thing comes along called the WXC. Ooh, another female scene, right? Another female scene or another female league for competitive Call of Duty. At first, I'm like, well, I'm like, okay, that's cool. More the mirror. That's awesome. Then I realize, oh, I look at their format. It's not like orgs. It's like they have their own team brandings. I keep seeing Activision approved. What the fuck does that mean? They're making it sound like the league is being supported by Activision. Okay, well, what the fuck does that mean? I'm seeing all these things. WXC was trying to look like really, really, really like, without doing it, they were kind of making it, trying to make it look like this was like partnership with the Call of Duty League. And I know, I know they never actually like said that, but they were making moves as if that's what they were trying to do. All right. And at first I'm like, yo, that's dope. That's cool. Right. That's cool. Is Activision, the Call of Duty League, going to like openly come out and support this? That's a big platform, right? For the females, right? That's what I thought was right. And I think that's what they envisioned, right? Now I'm seeing, oh, why are girls playing in that league but not in this league? What's going on there? I started to see a divide. I'm like, that's interesting. Why? Why can't y'all play in both? Then I'm seeing this team might have to forfeit this league match because they're playing in the WXC. So they're pretty much choosing to play in the WXC match over the FPC match. Why are we even to that? Why did it even get there? Is there no communication between the leagues to make sure that the matches are not on the same day? Like, what's going on? I started to see a divide. Okay? I started to see a divide. This is all happening while the FPC season, while the FPC season is happening, where my org is involved. I don't give up. At this point, I didn't even give a fuck about challengers. I was all about the female scene. I'm just concentrating on the female scene, right? So I'm looking at the tweets. I'm seeing people say this, that, and I'm starting to see a divide. I'm seeing a divide, right? The next step is, I'm seeing people get kicked out of the league, kicked out of the WXC league. I'm seeing tweets. I'm seeing DMs are being leaked. Again, no offense, ladies. This is female shit, so I kind of expected this stuff, right? Then I'm seeing the transphobic word being thrown around a lot. She said this. She said that. Look what she said. Blah, blah, blah. Why are you in a female league if you're a guy? Why are you in a female league if you got a dick? I'm seeing all these crazy shit, right? Now, let's get this straight right now. Again, I'm a conservative, okay? Again, y'all might get mad at me, but in my opinion, biological men should not play in female sports. I'm talking about sports, not esports. Physical sports, like body sports, physical sports. In my opinion, in physical sports, traditional sports, a biological man should not play in a female sport. When it comes to esports, it's different. Again, I'm a conservative. Okay? So keep that in mind before you judge what I'm saying. In traditional sports, I do not support biological men competing in female sports. In esports, it's different. Okay, it is different. There are females in the Call of Duty competitive scene that no matter how much I play, they're better than me in Call of Duty. That's just what it is. Okay, it's what it is. In esports, it's different. Nobody's getting hurt. Okay? Again, in esports, especially in the competitive Call of Duty scene, there are a couple trans esports athletes. And I've seen them all play. And none of them, in my opinion, are the best female players. In esports, it's different. Okay. But that's not the issue. I think most people would agree that in esports, if you're a trans person and you want to compete in the female scene, I think most people don't have a problem with that. Even if they don't, like, it's not the end of the world, right? Now, there's people that might have a problem with that. And that's okay, too. That's okay, too. Here's the problem that we run into, especially right now that I see. When we start banning people because they said they're being accused of transphobia, right? You have to look at your league and say, all right, what am I trying to do here? We're in Call of Duty, arguably the most toxic esport of all of esports. All right. Are we now willing to sacrifice the trajectory of the female competitive Call of Duty scene over words and opinions and views? Are we really, really ready to do that? You're telling me that if a player says the F word, if a player says that girl is a dude, or you shouldn't play in the female scene because you have a cock, you're telling me that someone saying that is enough to ban them from competing? Now we're getting into muddy waters. Now we're letting opinions and views affect the possibilities of the female scene. Especially when somebody, let's say somebody makes that mistake. In your eyes, it's a mistake. Let's say somebody makes that mistake and says something in the heat of the moment. But they apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. I didn't mean to say that, or I said it under this, whatever, blah, 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 but I apologize. But we're still holding grudges. Furthermore, creating an even more divide in the female scene. All right. And we can get into the particulars and this person said that and this, that, blah, 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 blah. Fuck all that. If this divide continues within the female scene, if the divide continues in the female scene, well, this league didn't pay the players. Well, this league is only wants this type of person. And if that continues, there is no female Call of Duty scene. This is as far as y'all gonna go. Okay? As far as y'all gonna go. My opinion, if you want to have two leagues, okay. But if you really want this scene to grow, one person is not gonna be responsible for it. One person is not going to be responsible for the female Call of Duty scene getting it to where y'all want to get it to. One person will not do it. I don't care how many followers you have, how much clout you have. One person will not do it. it's got to be the entire community. And everybody from players to orgs, no matter how big or small, must be encouraged to participate. Because if we start isolating people, players, or that player, hey, you said this, so you can't play in our league. Or that org, no, you guys are too small. We don't want you in the league. It needs to be all hands on deck to get this shit popping. Because if it's not, if it's you can only play if you're this, or you can only play if you're this much clout or that many followers, then that shit, chalk it up. This shit ain't going nowhere. You guys are going to be bickering and talking shit to each other. That's all you're going to do. It'll go nowhere. All that Activision approved shit, you can shove that up right up your ass. That means nothing. That literally means nothing. It's all hands on deck if y'all want to make this female Call of Duty scene pop. Okay? If not, go fuck yourselves. Keep playing ranked play. That's all you're going to do. And I hope both leagues work out. But this whole tribal divide, that shit needs to go. It needs to go. There are too many good players, female players, to let that talent go to waste. And I hope this podcast, a little message, reaches the FPC, reaches the WXC, reaches whoever. I hope y'all listen to that. One person will not make this shit pop. Not going to happen. I've been in the Call of Duty scene long enough to know one person will not make this shit pop. All right, guys. We're done with this shit. An hour and 12 minutes. I am tired. I'm going to edit this motherfucking podcast. I'm going to put it up, and we're going to get into the shit. All right? I love you guys. God bless. We are out this shit. Hope you guys have a beautiful weekend. Interviews coming next week. We are out of here. Take care. Wash your ass, and we out.